Jesus.
Thank you.
Make it hotter.
Up, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Increase the heat in the name of Jesus. Father, just fan this flame right now. Fan this flame. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Oh, Rabakasanda, Rabakasandria, Rabakasanda. Here, Rabakasanda, Rabakasanda. Oh, hallelujah. As the Holy Ghost breathes on you, hallelujah, he'll take those embers that are red hot and they'll begin to ignite everything that gets in contact with them. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the fire. You are a God who answers by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your fire. Fire. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. God prefers that you be hot or cold, but just don't be lukewarm. Don't be indifferent. Glory to God. Oh, how do you get hotter? Just draw close to Him. Take one step away from your way of doing things and a step closer to His. Hallelujah. Please join with me as we make our confession of faith. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're continuing with seen and heard. I want you to see something different. I want you to hear something different. And I want you to look higher than you've ever looked. And listen more intently. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. Have you ever wondered what faith sees? You ever wonder what faith sees? I'm about to show you what faith sees. And verse 1 says, now faith is. So he's about to tell us something of what faith is. You know, people say, well, I have faith. Yeah? What is it? Is it just some notion that you have? Is it a feeling that you have? What is it? What is faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You have some hopes? All right? So you've got this hope, and usually a hope is out here. All right? If you could see it and feel it, it wouldn't be hope. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, faith is the material that brings that hope from hope into reality. Faith connects with your hope and brings it into the material world. All right, some have described it as an invisible hand that reaches up, grabs hold of it, and pulls it out, pulls it from the spirit, okay? And it's the evidence of things not seen. So what does faith see? It sees evidence. It sees proof. How do you know a vehicle exists? Let's say it wasn't near you. How would you know a vehicle exists? Might hear it? Ah. If you have a title, that title contains a description of the year, the make, the model, and the identification number, sometimes the mileage. And that title is sufficient enough to prove that that vehicle exists. It may not be in your presence. You may not be able to hear it. But if you look on that title, you know for sure that there is a vehicle with that description somewhere. That title is enough evidence to prove that that vehicle exists. So what does faith see? Faith sees the evidence, the proof, the substance. You know, what does a judge look at? Does a judge look at the feelings of the plaintiff and the defendant? Oh, I feel for you, Mr. Plaintiff. Judge doesn't care about what they feel. What does a judge care about? Show me the evidence. A lawyer has to prove in a court of law beyond a reasonable doubt. They have to show enough evidence to prove that their case should receive the judgment or not the judgment, depending if they're the prosecutor or the defense attorney. So faith sees the evidence of God's word. Faith doesn't see the feelings. Faith doesn't see the emotion. Faith sees the evidence. Faith kind of has a narrow vision. It looks to the evidence. I am healed. How do you know you're healed? Because God said it. So you could either hear it or you could see it. And if you hear it and see it, that's even better. When you hear the word and when you see the word, God is stimulating your learning ability on two levels, seeing and hearing. And when you see and hear, it has a better chance to get on the inside of you. And it will bring that hope. You're not hoping to get healed. I am healed because he said it. We touched on this a little bit. The wise men who came to worship Jesus, they heard the words from King Herod, go and find out where this person is so that I can worship him too. And then they saw the star. And as they followed that star, the star led them right to where Jesus was. And when they came in and they saw the child, something sparked in them when they saw him that their first response was worship. See, what they saw caused their hope to become a reality. They were hoping for a Messiah. And because they were looking at the star and they listened to the words of the king, it led them right to where the Messiah was. And because they were honest in their pursuit, he helped them avoid danger on the way back home. Because what you see and what you hear will greatly affect what you believe. When you are focusing on a person's faults and their shortcomings, you will never see them successful. You will never see them who they can be. You will always see them what they are. And God never looks to us as what we are. I'll give you an example. Gideon, O mighty man of valor. What was Gideon doing when God said that? He was hiding in fear. So God saw something different in Gideon. He saw what he could be. Because he looks past what we are and he sees what we could be. And when Gideon heard what God saw, it sparked faith in him to become what God said. He maybe had hoped to be a mighty man. Maybe someday I'll be like Superman and I can go into a phone booth as Clark Kent and I can come out as the Man of Steel. Maybe Gideon had hopes, but see, his reality was he was the smallest, he was from the weakest clan, and he was the most insignificant person in his family. That was his reality. But how many know that, see, the Word of God changed his reality? God spoke to him in fear, and he came out with faith. And that faith that he now had transformed him into what God said he would be. Because what he heard, see, you may be looking at yourself and you might say, what do I have to offer? I really can't do much. But see, you, all it takes for you to do is to hear the word of God and it'll give you a new vision. See, the word will replace your current vision with a new vision. It's time to go to the spiritual eye doctor. And it's time to increase your vision. Why do we keep saying that confession? Our church is flourishing, thrive. You may look around and you say, I don't think this is flourishing. See, I'm not looking at what I see, I'm looking at what he says. See, if you look at what you see, there's a whole world beyond what we see. There is a whole world that exists that we can't see. And everything that we can see came out of what we can't see. Everything originated in the Spirit. But when God's Word came on the scene, it gave this world a different picture. And this world was once dark, but now there's light because it got a different picture. It heard a different sound. And I had no intention of saying all that I just said. It's kind of fun. It's kind of like walking on a balance beam. All right? Let's go to Acts chapter 8. We touched on this a little bit last week as we were finishing. Acts chapter 8. And let's start with verse 4. Okay? Everybody in the early church was crowded in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the hot spot. Everybody was gathered there. And but God said, you know, God had other plans other than just Jerusalem. And so he said that you're going to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And then persecution came. It's kind of God's way of nudging you, saying it's time to get a different vision. Get your eyes off Jerusalem and get them on the world. And in verse 4, the Bible says, therefore, these who were scattered everywhere, or were scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. Why do you go everywhere preaching the word? Because there has been a negative sound and a negative vision implanted in the world that we live in, because Satan is the ruler of this world. Whether you like it or not, Satan rules this world and this world system. You can look at this world today and you can, God is not in control of everything, because there is a prince of the power of the air, and he operates on lies and deception and all that stuff. And so he has painted a picture. He bombards you with negativity so that you take on a negative speech and you take on a negative vision. Therefore, negative things keep multiplying because we have too many people in agreement with what's negative. So we go preaching the word to give them a new vision, to give them evidence that there's something better, that there's something more. We got to get their eyes on something else other than what they see here. We got to lift our eyes higher. So we go preaching the word. Then Philip, verse 5, went down to the city of Samaria. If you go back to Acts 1:8, Samaria was one of the places that God wanted to go. And preached Christ to them. See, the Samaritans, what they heard and what they saw was producing negative results. So they had to give new information. And verse 6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. They listened to what Philip said. They heard the word. They heard the message. I went down to that church in Palmyra, and I heard something that I've never heard before, and it changed my life. Why? Because what you see and what you hear will greatly affect what you believe. If all your spouse sees is negative behavior, you're going to have negative results. What did God say for an ungodly spouse? If you have a spouse that's godly and a spouse that's ungodly, what do you do? The godly one should speak and portray godliness. And the Bible says that in your virtue, you'll end up winning the other person. See, you got to give them a positive picture, and you got to give them positive words. And when they see that, it'll create a different picture about that. I'll give you an example. There was a time before Smith Wigglesworth, I guess, had gotten saved. And his wife would preach at this little mission. And he had an attitude, and he didn't want to go to church. So she went anyway. Sometimes we got to go anyway. Amen? And while she went, he locked her out of the house. So she slept on the porch. In the morning, he opened up the door and let her in. Now, she could have complained, but she didn't. She kissed him on the cheek or whatever, and she went and made him breakfast. And it was that that influenced him to get saved. Because she gave him a vision of godliness. See, and love. When the world looks at the church and they see our love for one another, it affects the way it affects what they believe. Wow, those are Christians. Verse 6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You know, it's time that the church hears and sees the miracles that are being done. We need to hear some miracles. What can you hear? What's a miracle that you can hear? Huh? What's a miracle that you can hear? How about if someone prayed in another language that they never studied or they never learned? Would that be a miracle? Yeah, you'd hear them speak. Maybe you hear the most quiet person shout, you know? Or maybe you hear people laugh because they have so much joy. See, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of someone, you've got to have an outlet. There's got to be some type of an expression, because sometimes words are not enough to describe the feeling that you're getting from His presence. Amen. I declare that this is an atmosphere where we're going to see and hear the miracles that God is doing. It's time to step out. Step out of fear. Step out of what people are going to think. It's time to overcome those things. I can remember in services in Abundant Life Tabernacle, demons would scream out. I remember this one girl, her eyes were red, and the pastor started praying for her. She started screaming, "Ah!" We need to hear the devils being cast out. Yeah. Well, how's that going to happen? The saints are going to have to hear something different and see something different in order for God to move. Notice verse 7. They heard and they saw unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. Notice the devils weren't silent, because they didn't want to come out of where they were. They were comfortable, but they had to. They came out of many who were possessed. Can you imagine at an evangelistic meeting, the evangelist Peter goes in and holds this meeting, and devils are crying. Many people were possessed with devils. See, those devils were giving them a negative picture and negative words, and it held those people in bondage. In other words, those people got possessed by what they saw and what they heard, until a powerful force called the gospel came along and changed what they heard and changed what they saw. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Do you think those people who were healed were silent? Oh, praise the Lord, I can walk now. I don't think so. I remember I was at a tent meeting. Matter of fact, I had been backslidden. And this was my first time coming back to the gospel, was a tent meeting that one of my pastors had. He became my pastor after this tent meeting. And this guy who had worn a back brace for a number of years because of an injury that he had, he got healed that night. I saw this with my own eyes. You know what happened? He took off running. He did about 4 laps around that tent. I talked to him at the coffee shop. I talked to him. I asked him what was happening. He told me his testimony. It was powerful. So they were hearing and seeing these things. What else did they hear? Verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. Do you think you can contain great joy by going? No. When you got great joy, it's going to be like a volcano in your belly. When you got great joy, you're not going to know. You're just going to have to let it out. So we got to take the cork off of some Christians. Shake them up a little bit. We need to be like a carbonated beverage or something. When you shake it up and you open up the lid, it gets over everywhere. I remember some of the meetings I was in at Rhema and at my church in Tennessee, and on a bus, people were rolling and laughing, rolling over each other, laughing, carrying on. Because at that time, the body of Christ needed some joy restored to it. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Say, I'm not afraid to express great joy. Say, God gives me great joy. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Well, they saw and they heard. And it changed the atmosphere of Samaria. Go down to verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city. He astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is great, is the great power of God." See, now this is the devil. The devil gets a little jealous when God has the focus. When our focus is on God, the devil gets jealous, so he has to put on a show. He wants the attention to be all on him. He said, "I can't have all this attention in Samaria." So he stirs up Simon, who was a sorcerer, a witch. And he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip, say, but when they believed. What was the moment they believed? What they saw and what they heard led to them believing the truth. When the truth finally came along and they saw the truth and they heard the truth, it affected what they believed. When you see the truth and when you hear the truth for yourself, you will never be the same. I love that. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, Peter was preaching and he was forming a picture of Christ right before their eyes. They were seeing Jesus in the form of Philip. Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, I hope you don't see Pastor Doug up here. I hope you see Jesus. I hope you see the Word of God. I'm just an avenue. Don't look at me. I can't heal a fly with a headache. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And he was baptized. And he continued with Philip, was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. The sorcerer was amazed at the power that was being demonstrated. Think about that for a minute. And Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them, whom when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Was it a long time between laying on of hands and them receiving? See, all he did was this. He laid hands on them. That's it. Didn't even pray. And it said they received. See, so when hands are laid on you for anything, all you got to do is receive. And receiving is not hard because God wants you to have what he's got. Say, I'm a receiver. You know what a receiver does? It picks up signals. See, this microphone operates on a receiver. This little pack that I have is a transmitter. It takes my voice, it sends it to the receiver, and it amplifies it over the sound system. And see, this transmitter and this receiver are in agreement, so therefore I can speak louder than what my voice normally is. It's called a microphone amplification. You see how well that works? All I have to do is I have to turn the receiver on and I have to turn the transmitter on. Let me tell you, God's got a transmitter that he never shuts off. The problem is we turn our receivers off. And the problem is we don't pick up the signal that God is sending, so we're not receiving the message. So let's turn our receivers on and let's get the message and let's get the picture. Where should the picture? The picture should be on the inside of you. And if we were to take a sonogram, what kind of picture would we see of what you're believing for on the inside of you? Would what's in here be in agreement with what's here? So they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. What did Simon see? Huh? Do you think he saw them speaking in tongues, other languages? Well, he must have. Because when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit, and there was evidence that Simon, the sorcerer, saw. So here's Peter and John. They lay hands on them. The Samaritans, they get filled with the Holy Ghost because they receive. And Simon says, "Woo! I want that power. I want that ability." He saw that through the laying on of hands, people get the Holy Spirit. See, so God uses the laying on of hands as a point of contact. That's why we lay hands on people. That's why you got to watch out who lays hands on you. You don't know where their hands have been. Their hands may want to form a different picture than what God wants in you. Paul, you know, the Bible even says, lay hands on no man suddenly. You know, when I was in college and we'd have our chapel services, it'd be like a laying on of hands free for all. People would come up and you'd get crowds of people around them laying hands on them. That's not always good. Sometimes it's like a shark feeding frenzy or something, you know, laying hands on everybody. But my point is that Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, these guys received the Holy Spirit. Of course, he offered them money, and Peter said, "Your money perish with you because you thought that you could, the gift of God could be purchased." Did you know that it's a gift? That the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift? Say, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. You ever give a gift for someone? Did you ever struggle to give a gift to someone? At Christmas, do you ever say, "Take it! No, take it! No, take it!" My point is, God doesn't make it hard to receive his gifts. Why do we make it so hard in the receiving part? We get all this other stuff in our heads. Oh, it's got to be received this way. It's got to look like that. How do you know what it's supposed to look like? Have you seen it? You know, the way the Spirit comes upon people, it's different for everybody. But one thing is true. You're going to see something and you're going to hear something. There's going to be evidence. Because faith sees the evidence. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 4. I want you to see what God saw about Cornelius. This angel appeared to him, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." What did God see about Cornelius? Number one, he heard his prayers and he saw his giving. And the prayers and the giving that were taking place touched God's heart. What God heard and what God saw touched his heart. Okay? And your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. You know what's a memorial? That's something that's put before you that you can see. That clock tower in Palmyra in the square is like a memorial, because every time you go by, you want to see what time it is. A memorial creates a vision, and it usually has a story about it. And his giving and his prayers were the two key things that touched God's heart, that caused God to move to get the Holy Spirit to Cornelius. Cornelius didn't know how to get the Holy Spirit, but he knew how to pray and he knew how to give. So when you pray and when you give, and when you pray what you're going to give, it touches God's heart. So we know the story. He said he gave him directions to send for Peter, and he sent for Peter. Peter came. Peter didn't really know why he was coming. He went in there. He saw the room full. See, because what Cornelius saw and what he heard caused him to gather all of his friends and family. Say, "Come here, I want you to come over to my house. I'm going to have a party." They didn't know what they were. Probably was going to take place until Peter showed up and started preaching. And then what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. All right? And go down to verse 22. And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." So he saw Peter preaching. He saw Peter and he heard Peter preaching. And what Peter was saying and what Cornelius was seeing and hearing affected what he believed. Okay? And Peter goes into his spiel of the vision. And verse 33. Well, no, let's go down to verse 31. Okay? Verse 30. Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.'" Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? the word of God. See, Cornelius had to hear the word about the gospel. And verse 33 says, "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." And Peter opened up his mouth and he began to preach. And go down to verse 44. He says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." So they saw the evidence and they realized that the gospel and the Holy Spirit was also for the Gentiles, and then they stayed with them for a few days. All right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We need to believe for an increase of hearing and seeing. And as we respond to the Word of God, you know, whenever the Word of God goes forth, it'll always bring an instruction, something to do, because God wants us to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. You need to take what you hear, allow it to form a picture on the inside of you, and you need to do what you see. My mentor, Brother Hagin, he would often say when he preached, he had a vision of him doing something in the service. So when he got to that point in the service, he would do what he saw himself do, and God would show up in a big way. It's pretty amazing. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen." If I had a big growth on my elbow, and you know, it looked like a softball sitting here, just a big growth, what am I supposed to look at if I want to be healed? Am I supposed to... "While we do not look on the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And when you're looking to the word, you're looking to life. So I'm going to, this thing is here. It's a reality. It's a reality in my life. This growth is here, but I'm not looking to the growth. I'm not talking about the growth. I'm saying Jesus is my healer. He's my healer. I'm not even paying attention. You know, Abraham, when he was told by God that he was going to have a child when it was physically impossible, the Bible says in Romans 4, he considered not his own body now being dead. But what did he have to consider? He had to go with the picture that God gave him, the picture that the word formed in him that said, "I'm going to make you a father of many nations." He held on to that word. He never let go of that word. He said, "I'm going to be a father of many nations." Yeah, there were times when he lost his focus. There was times when his faith wasn't as strong as it was as other times, but he held on and he held on and he held on, and years passed. Time went on. He held on. He quit looking to Sarah. He quit looking to his own body. He kept looking to the word, and eventually what he saw took place on the inside of him, and when him and Sarah got together, Isaac was formed. Because he refused. When do you quit looking at the problem in your body? Let me put it this way. When do you quit believing God's word? Until you see it manifest. And let's just take healing, for example. You speak healing until you know in your body that you're healed. What proves that you're healed? The evidence. I'm not looking at the reality, but I'm looking at the evidence. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. When Israel was in the wilderness, they began to complain and murmur about their conditions. Lack of water, lack of food. They're out in a barren, dry land. They were looking at their circumstances. And looking at your circumstances, they began to complain and murmur. So what did God do? He sent fiery serpents through the camp, vipers, and they were biting these people. They were complaining for lack of water, and the bite from the viper actually made them want water more. Think about that for a minute. So what did the Lord have Moses do? He said, I want you to make a serpent, and I want you to put it on a pole, and I want you to lift that serpent up, to lift it up. The Bible says, when we lift up Christ, all men will be drawn unto him. See, when you lift God up, you have to let God arise in your situation, and the enemies will scatter. If you're focused on your enemies, they're going to be drawn to you. But if you focused on God, they're going to flee from you. And Moses lifted up this serpent. And he told the people, he said, if you look upon the serpent, that wasn't just it was a gaze. They had to intensely look at it. It wasn't just a glance, but it was a focus. And all who looked on the serpent were healed completely of the bite of the serpent, the venom and all that stuff. A simple look. God has to get your eyes off your circumstances. It's easy. It doesn't take any faith to talk about your circumstances. Your circumstances are what they are. You're not going to gain anything by talking about them. Talk about something that's higher, that's bigger, that's better. And when you do, faith will come to your heart, and you will find that your circumstance changes. Just by simply changing your perspective, change the information that you have. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Because we can walk by faith and not by sight because God's word is a guiding light. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. Best way to get out of darkness is use a light. If you're trying to maneuver through the darkness, you might run into a few things. But if you have the light on and you can see where you're going, it's better. Go with me to Habakkuk, and I'm almost ready to finish here for tonight. Habakkuk. That might be one of the books you have to blow the dust off of. Whew. Habakkuk. These prophets got some wild names. You don't want to go to heaven, and you don't want to meet Habakkuk and say, who are you? Amen? Habakkuk. If you go to Nahum and take a right, or he's just before Zechariah or Haggai. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Yeah. page 1209. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk 2, 1. Habakkuk had a problem with the people prospering. He saw all the violence and the strife before him, and he didn't seem to see God's working. And, you know, the Lord kind of straightened him out. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart or the fortress. You know who the fortress is of your life? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of your salvation. He's the chief cornerstone. He's your firm foundation. I will set my watch and set myself on Christ and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Verse 2. Then the Lord answered it me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Because notice, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. Those who wait upon the Lord shall be renewed in their strength. Their strength shall be renewed. You shall mount up with wings of eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. The point he's making here is, don't take your eyes off the vision or the evidence. And he said, write it down. Do you realize what I'm doing tonight? I wrote down several years ago. I can go in my office and I can pull out the sheet of Heirs of Promise Ministries. I can describe the vision of how God wants me to tell people what belongs to them and how to appropriate it in their life. I wrote it down years ago, and I had to wait for it. I had to wait for it. See, the reason you got to write it down is so that when you get discouraged, you can go back and see what the Lord said. I see what you said. I see what you said, because that changes your perspective. When doubt and discouragement try to creep in, you got to go back to the Word. You got to go back and remind yourself. You got to go back and focus on what God said. That's why you got to write it down. But so that when you see it, you can run with it. And I'm running with it today. Oh yeah, though it tarries, wait for it. See, when you start getting to say, God, when is this going to happen? God, when am I going to do this? When am I going to do that? Would you hush? Instead of saying, when am I going to do this? Say, Lord, I thank you that you have put this in my heart. Lord, I thank you that you're leading and guiding me. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm done. See, verse 4 is really what Corinthians quotes. He says here, the just shall live by faith. In other words, the just shall live by the vision that God speaks to you that you should write down. Proverbs chapter 4. And then I'm done for tonight anyway. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son or my daughter, give attention to my words. I'm glad he said words there, plural, and not just word. You know, there's more than one word in the Bible. Give attention to my words. It's like the thief who said, I was so poor I can't even pay attention. Do not incline your ear to my sayings. What'd you say, Lord? Say it again, Lord. Say it again. Yeah, say it again, Lord. Do not let them depart from your eyes. keep them in the midst of your heart. When you're looking to the Word and you're listening to the Word and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, it's going to get into your heart. And into your heart is where it needs to be, because that is the safe place for the Word of God. For they are life to those that find them. What's life? The words that you see and the words that you hear. And how do we know you're keeping it in your heart? Because you're doing it. You can't just keep it up in your heart and store it and don't do anything with it. I'm storing the Word. I'm not doing nothing with it, but man, I got a load of Word in me. Well, if you're not doing nothing with it, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. The word, that word health is also medicine. The Word is medicine to all your flesh. What word? The word that you're listening to, the word that you're looking to, and the word that you're keeping in your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the spring, or the out of it spring the issues of life. See, if you don't maintain a good heart, you're going to lose the word that you're storing up there. Because God looks to your heart. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. If a deceitful mouth is a word that is a mouth that disagrees with the Word. Because the Word is the truth, and if you're in disagreement with the truth, you're deceitful. When you call someone who's really small big, you're deceiving your heart. When you call like jumbo shrimp. We say jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron. Because shrimp is small, but then we say jumbo shrimp. Well, that's just a big, small shrimp. But when you call something small, big, you're deceiving your heart. And you got to put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Should I go this way, Lord? Take some time to pray. Take some time to read the Word. Take some time to listen to the Holy Ghost. Let all your ways be established. God will lead you, but He wants you to establish your ways. How do you establish your ways? You get into the Word, you get in prayer, you seek Him. Let Him establish your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. You'll be tempted to look to this circumstance, to look to that circumstance. Do not turn. Remove your foot from evil. Your foot does not have a mind of its own. You control your foot. Oh, I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. I just couldn't help myself. The devil made me do it. He did not make you do it. How can someone who's defeated make you do something? When Germany was defeated in World War II, they could not make the world do anything else because they were defeated. How can the devil make you do it? I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could help yourself. You didn't help yourself. That's the problem. You weren't established. You weren't looking. You were looking and listening to the wrong thing. You were listening to your feelings and to your emotions, and they were leading you. Where are we going? I don't know. Whatever feels good, let's do it. That's what, when you're being led by your feelings and your emotions, you're not being led by the Lord. When you're led by your feelings and emotions, those are the ones that are controlling your life, not the Word. So, in order to not be led by your feelings and emotions, you got to change your information. Amen. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise that tonight you give us a different perspective. We're looking unto Jesus. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. So He's the beginner, He's the end, but who fills in the pages? You and I do. So what are you writing in your book? What are you speaking? What are you doing with what you hear? You ought to be growing. You ought to be improving. You ought to be getting more into the things of God. You ought to be expert worshipers. You ought to be expert listeners. You ought to be expert doers. Once the word is given, the Lord's responsibility is released. Then it's up to us. We've got to take what we've heard, take what we've seen, and put it into practice in our own lives. So, Father, bring us up higher. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you breathe fresh on us tonight, Father, with the Holy Ghost, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we start doing something with what we hear. We become the seekers. We become the people that go after the things of God. Don't wait for God to move you. You move God. You take that step of faith. He's done everything he needs to do to bring the promises to you, and they're yours. Now it's up to you to do something with them. In Jesus' name, amen.